Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Hippie Witch, magic for a new age. I'm your host, Joanna DeVoe, and this is a happy, hippie place where magic with a K meets the law of attraction.
Oh, hello. That was weird. I'm wondering if you guys even heard my little intro. I got disconnected when I was trying to call into my own show, so hopefully you heard my whole, hi, welcome to Hippie Witch. And hi, thanks for joining me for episode 16 of Hippie Witch, Magic for a New Age. I am Joanna DeVoe, and you are listening to my weekly radio show. You can also find me at www.joannadevoe.com and all over YouTube because I'm a busy witch and I seem to love the internet. I'm also pleased to announce that I finally got this show up on iTunes. Yay! So now you can subscribe to it that way and get all of the episodes sent directly to your iPod or phone, which is super cool and a very long time in the coming. It only took me 16 weeks. And for those of you who don't know, I'm hosting the very last round of Sad to Sexy for 2013 this August, and I just created a video series called 7 Days of Sad to Sexy that you can watch for free right now at www.sadtosexy.com, www. And you don't have to sign up for anything to watch. It is truly free and my gift to you, so I hope that you'll hop on over there to check it out. It features some of my best tips and tricks for getting off the standard American diet, which is the SAD, S-A-D, and SAD to sexy, and moving toward a more juicy, healthy lifestyle, eating lots of fresh whole foods straight from Mother Nature, which actually ties in really nicely with this episode because Mother Nature has everything to do with what I'm talking about today. In this episode today, I'm discussing why I feel that earth-based spirituality is relevant to this time and how drawing from pagan and or ecological practices can enhance one's spiritual practice, regardless of what your religion is or even if you have no religion, like me. So what is earth-based spirituality? Earth-based spirituality involves any spiritual practice that is focused on the earth, as in this planet that we are all living on right now. And it seems obvious that the elements we are breathing, eating, absorbing, and wrapping ourselves in would be a natural part of our spirituality, but for some reason, many of us have actually distanced ourselves, at least mentally and spiritually, from this planet and put our focus on something out there, whether that be the promised land of heaven or some distant celestial configuration like the Palladians, or even just the achievement of a higher vibration like, get me out of this third-dimensional hellhole. Beam me up, Scotty, to dimension 5. So, you know, many people today, also when they think of earth-based spirituality, they think of paganism. And the neo-pagan movement is certainly earth and nature-centric, but there are many other forms of earth-based spirituality. So you don't have to be a pagan or call yourself a pagan to, you know, groove on Mother Nature. Yoga often leans that way, and I happen to think that yoga and witchcraft go together like peanut butter and jelly. They do. They just do. And or any form of earth-based spirituality. Yoga is such a great exercise to really, like, clue you in to what's going on in the here and now and all around you. And pantheism is obviously earth-based. And for those of you who don't know, pantheism associates nature with divinity, as in God is in everything, and everything is in God, every rock, flower, and tree. Animism, too, is earth-based, as animists believe that every rock, flower, and tree has its own soul. And these are beliefs that revere nature. You will also find a mishmash of these beliefs, a range of nature worship, and or a whole lot of earth loving in Native American traditions, Druidry, and all manner of shamanism. There's even a brand of shamanism. Can you say a brand of shamanism? A kind of shamanism called eco-shamanism. And you can bet your bippy that that's super-duper earth-based. But you don't even have to believe in divinity to be spiritually inclined. It's hard for some people to wrap their minds around, but there are spiritual atheists, and many of these people are environmentalists and activists focused very much on the preservation of our planet. Anthropologist Spencer Wells wrote a fascinating book called Pandora's Seed. Pandora's Seed, if you want to look that up. I also always include a resource list back on the Blog Talk radio show page, but since some of you may now be listening to this on iTunes, I'm very proud of that. you're just going to have to write down the books that I mentioned. But anyway, that book is about how the advent of agriculture many thousands of years ago, probably many more than you even realize, was really a form of playing God that has had huge implications for our planet and all of us on it. And it's an extremely thought-provoking read that may inspire you, whether you are a druidic pagan yogini or an atheist, to think about your place in nature in a whole new way. And it's just an interesting book. And I can say honestly that it actually warms my heart to see the various movements of people who are getting into things now like permaculture, building their own eco-friendly homes and getting off the grid, even food trends like the paleo and raw food diets. People just seem to be craving a more earth-centric existence. We just want to get back to nature, and I really believe that that is because we have denatured ourselves. We have, for all intents and purposes, removed ourselves from our natural environment. And we have suffered for it mentally, physically, and of course spiritually. And that is one of many reasons why I'm so grateful for people like Daniel Vitalis with his emphasis on rewilding. He has been a huge influence on me and many others. And so have people like Paul Stamets, Stephen Herod Buhner, Terrence McKenna, and too many former hippies to mention here now. And I say former, but they really are still carrying that hippie torch today, and it's just so nice to see younger generations picking it up and carrying it along beside them. I often joke that I'm going to write a book called The Hippies Were Right, because the hippies were right about so many things. Not everything, but many things. And this whole return to nature phenomenon that we see happening in our culture now looks to me very much like a kind of hippie movement 2.0, and really just underscores why earth-based spirituality is relevant today and necessary, maybe even more than ever. And, you know, it's not just about saving the environment. It's also about saving your soul in a way. I mean, I believe your soul is eternal and that it is not in need of being saved. Your soul does not need to be saved, but your connection to it may be. Your connection to your soul, in my opinion, can be lost. You can, especially in these modern electrified times, be systematically disconnected from your higher self, from your true self, i.e. your soul. And that can lead to all manner of bad news. When you are disconnected from your soul, when you're living on the Starbucks liquid diet and working 15 hours a day and barely sleeping and barely talking to your family and judging an impossible schedule, sitting in 45 minutes of smog-infested rush hour traffic twice a day, it's hard to hear that inner voice calling to you saying, go on, get out of here, get naked, run barefoot and free through the woods, make love, not war, kumbaya. And I am laughing, but I'm serious about this too. I can laugh and be serious at the same time. Danny Vitalis does this funny thing. I've heard him talk about this a couple times where he talks about, he makes fun of us. He makes fun of what we're like when we go camping. He said we actually look like aliens from outer space. You know, we're dressed up like astronauts. We cover ourselves in this, like, weird weatherproof fluorescent material, and we wear our insulated gloves and boots and big goggles, and then we strap a ginormous, you know, backpack filled with all of our modern conveniences and supplies, and we must look so strange to the animals in the forest when they, you know, see and hear us coming. And he says that, you know, we used to just be a part of nature in the woods, and we would, like animals, know how to move our way, you know, through without becoming a meal, but now we're just so clueless and so disconnected from nature that we just go, like, clomping through. And, you know, if we didn't have all our little weaponry and if we hadn't killed off all the wildlife, we wouldn't make it 2 seconds. We would be lunch in no time, like, clumping through there, you know, all clumsy with all of our little gadgets and fluorescent colors and weighed down with our big backpacks. And it really is true. That is just how far removed we have come from nature. It also makes me think of the movie WALL-E. I don't know if you guys have seen that, but that was a profound movie that really moved me to see, if you haven't seen it, basically in the movie, you know, it's kind of like a post-apocalyptic reality in which people are living in a virtual reality. They cruise around in these little, like, hovercrafts, and everybody's morbidly obese and beyond because all they do is sit all day long in these little, like, lounger hovercraft things that are on a track, and in front of them is a screen, so they're just staring at their TV screen or their computer all day long, and then they drink like these giant big gulp kind of drinks, you know, so they're consuming fake foods, and instead of actually living their lives, they're living in this virtual reality, and their bodies have just become these ginormous blobs because they don't use them. And it's really a great commentary on what we have become and what we are becoming. So it's just such a relief to see that people are rebelling against that, and that we still feel that instinct and that call of the wild inside. And then just spiritually speaking, as for myself, I can't say that I worship anything, although I appreciate and recognize the divine in everything. So I do label myself as a pantheist, and I like to say that popular phrase that nature is my temple, love is my religion. That totally resonates with me. I like to call myself a pantheist witch or a hippie witch, and either suits me just fine. And even if other people don't understand what I mean, I know what I mean. The first book I ever read by Marion Greene was A Witch Alone, and it was actually part of a year-and-a-day study that I did in order to feel justified in calling myself a witch, if only in my own mind, I felt that I needed to do a proper year and a day of study. So in 2011, I did, but I couldn't decide between Christopher Pinsak's The Inner Temple of Witchcraft and A Witch Alone. So I read them both side by side, and I did all the exercises, taking each book one chapter at a time, one each per moon cycle, which took me through a complete year and a day on double time, I guess. And those books complemented each other really well because The Inner Temple is very much about psychic development and inner work, which I was already pretty adept at, but I just wanted to give it like a witchcraft framework, I guess. And then A Witch Alone, which is what I'm talking about today, is more earth-centric and focused on nature. And she has just this great chapter that the one thing that really stands out in my mind is about learning about where you live and who the indigenous people are that or were that lived on the land that you're on now. And I had so much fun and was so interested in learning about that. And I will never look at my neighborhood in the same way again once I learned about the Native Americans who used to live here. You know, every hill and every tree just took on a whole new meaning. So that book is worth just, that chapter is worth buying that book. It's one of the best things I've ever read. And I mean that chapter specifically. So at the end of that year and a day, I felt like I had a really balanced, well-rounded picture of where I was headed on my path. And before that, I had already done a year and a day of just following and celebrating the wheel of the year, which was also very helpful in terms of connecting to nature and making sense of where I was going in terms of practicing an earth-based spirituality. And for anyone who doesn't know what the wheel of the year is, it's kind of a neo-pagan thing based on what we think were ancient holidays and practices. It basically every 6 weeks or so, there's another holiday where you're recognizing the changing seasons. And the way I like to celebrate it is like, you know, spring equinox, summer transition, summer solstice, summer transition, or fall transition, fall equinox. I like to see them more in terms of the changing seasons as opposed to any kind of religious connotation, but people subscribe religious connotations to them too and tie it into, you know, old Celtic holidays and things like that. But it's just a really great way of getting in touch with what is going on around you in nature and with the animals and the trees and the sky. And that really set the tone for me, you know, even just that first year of really following the wheel of the year and acknowledging like, oh, we're changing now. The wheel is turning. While the books that I read just drove it all in deeper with a more structured, formal kind of way. Another book of Marian Greene's that I read and maybe even loved more than A Witch Alone is a slim little read called The Elements of Natural Magic. And when I say slim, I mean that the book itself is slim, but the content within packs quite the punch. Marian Greene is a person who is clearly devoted to nature and passionate about the earth. And that passion comes right off the page. You can't help but be affected by it. It's contagious. So as far as witches go, I'd say that she has been the biggest influence on me in terms of witchcraft being more than just about magic, spirituality being more than the transcendent, and then putting nature front and center. And then as far as exploring the actual scientifically sound energy of the earth, two books that are really wonderful for learning about that and how to feel and work with those energies are one, Clinton Ober's excellent, incredibly compelling book, Earthing. And the subtitle on that book is The Most Important Health Discovery Ever, which is punctuated with a question mark. So I suppose the author is happy to share his information and let you decide for yourself how important it is. But I would say, judging by my own experience, that it is very important indeed. If not the most important, it is certainly a vital part of the overall picture. And there are many examples given in that book of how grounding yourself can cure all kinds of illnesses and disorders. And he even figured out a really nifty way to ground your bed while you sleep. So that book is all about grounding and the actual energies that the earth contains within it and how we are supposed to be connected to those energies. And when you can disconnect yourself with rubber shoes and synthetic carpet and you're way high up in these buildings, so many floors away from the earth, you're actually doing a disservice to your mental and physical health. And the other book is Ann Parker and Dominique Suzani's Earth Alchemy, Aligning Your Home with Nature's Energies. And this book goes way beyond the principles of feng shui and energy grids, although it includes them both. You know, it gets into energy vortexes and the energy coming off of trees and way too many cool ideas to mention here now. I think it may be self-published because I did notice quite a few errors, but it definitely does not detract from the fun that this book has to offer. And you can almost use it like a little workbook to experiment with the energies of nature and to get your home all situated with some super groovy vibes. Great book, really fun, especially for those of you who maybe feel like you've read it all about feng shui and you want to move beyond that. And then I also just have so many books on the Wheel of the Year, and I have no doubt that I will one day own them all, because God knows I'm plowing through them fast enough, although new ones are always coming out, so maybe the speed of the publishing business will outrun me. And I'd actually be happy for that, because I don't think I will ever get sick of reading about the Wheel of the Year, even though so much of what I read about it is redundant. It never gets old. I just never get sick of it. And I even have my own year in a day program coming down the pipeline for Kick-Ass Witch. So, yeah, I'm big on the wheel. It has just connected me to the earth and the joy of celebrating its seasons in a way that I haven't experienced since I was a very small child. And it's just brought the wonder back to my life and really rounded out my spiritual practice in a way that I can't even put into words, really. And besides shadow work, which is amazing and was life-changing for me, besides shadow work, the Wheel of the Year was maybe the single most important thing to happen to my spirituality since the Law of Attraction. And I know the Law of Attraction gets a lot of sniggers and eye rolls these days, but I don't really care, because for me, it was a sizzling, eye-opening introduction to magic. And it worked. It really worked in terms of empowering me to shape my own life and to stop feeling like such a victim of circumstances. It showed me the power of belief and the very real ability we all have to manifest our heart's desires in the material world. But still, when I found the Law of Attraction, I was very much one of those people who was always looking to transcend reality and to evolve, ascend, and constantly improve. And I see so much of this today, especially with the emphasis on this big shift that we're supposedly all going through. But I think that without something to ground you to the here and now, something like an earth-based spirituality, you can really get detached from reality and so caught up in all of these channeled entities and ascended masters and opening your pineal gland that you lose all touch with the fact that you are, whether you like it or not, very much earthbound and probably here for a very good reason. And this need that some people feel to constantly seek ascension and higher vibrations, it really echoes the religion that I grew up in some ways. In the Christianity that I was raised in, the earth was almost a dirty and bad place. It was a place to survive until we could be transported to the perfection of heaven. And worldly things were bad, things that were of this earth. And those were phrases that were often thrown around in my house. And I think, you know, that was such a shame because, you know, if you'd think that if people loved and worshipped their creator to such a degree that they would also, if not worship, at least care for and honor his creation. So I included the work of Ralph Waldo Emerson in the resource list on the Blog Talk Radio page for this episode because even though he was labeled a transcendentalist, he was very much a nature lover. And nature factors all through his work, and curiously, so does Christianity, and the little phrases about like, attracting like, which echoes so much of what the law of attraction movement is all about. His work encompasses all of the things I'm trying to squeeze into this little 30-minute episode here, and more. And it is transcendent, but it is also grounded in the here and now. Well, the here and now of the 1800s, a time when people still had to contend with nature on a daily basis. They weren't as removed from it as we are today with our insulated high-rise buildings and air conditioning, microwaves, and round-the-clock fluorescent lighting, which again may be why so many of us are craving a return to nature. We want to rewild ourselves. We want to grow our own food and groove for a moment on the sight of a feather floating down from the sky, you know, earth, air, fire, water. It's no wonder so many of us are drawn to religions like Wicca or philosophies that honor the elements of this planet, the building blocks of this material reality, this here and now. And I think that it's not only a good idea to start incorporating more nature-based, earth-based practices into your life, but it's absolutely vital to experiencing yourself as you truly are, as a spirit having a human experience, a soul who has come to earth to be here now, here in the third dimension with its changing seasons and all manner of beauty. You know, just be here now. It is good. It is all good. Much love. Peace.